What do you plan on doing this summer? For many, the job search will continue. But for some young people with a little extra money, it's time to head off to explore a distant land, maybe do some volunteering. This was Connor Grennan's thinking, who quit his job to take a trip around the world. But in Nepal, he stumbled on an alarming problem, partly fueled by the country's 10-year civil war, and it changed the course of his life and that of hundreds of Nepali children and their families. Connor is author of Little Princes, One Man's Promise to Bring Home the Lost Children of Nepal, and he joins us from WNPR in Hartford, Connecticut. And Connor, you ended up in Nepal after leaving your job, and I love your candor in this book, because you write that you just wanted to impress women, so you thought you'd volunteer at an orphanage, and you went to a place called Little Princes. But you soon found out that the kids there weren't actually orphans.
Sure, yeah. I was sort of really taken aback by this. I mean, you're right. I went out to Nepal only to volunteer, only because I sort of felt pressured into it and because I thought it would be a good pickup line for women, essentially. And, you know, at first we did think they were all orphans because they told us they were orphans. And it was only after living with them for really many months that we learned this really staggering truth that they were actually trafficked children, that these mothers and fathers had actually given these kids up to child traffickers to rescue them from, you know, first the threat of abduction by the Maoist rebels, and second of all, you know, to try to get them into an education in a safe environment, and that meant Kathmandu. Now, you know, remember that these are parents that are from villages that are so far deep in the Himalaya that, you know, it would be 10 days just to walk to the nearest road. And so they had no sense of what Kathmandu would be like. They had no sense of who this man was who was taking their child away. But still, they paid them almost everything they had in the world for this privilege of taking their child to get an education, only to learn that this man had not only stolen their money, but stolen their child as well.
Yeah, you tell the story of a mother who was forced into poverty and actually moved to Kathmandu after she sold her two children. And then one day she walked up to your orphanage, and you looked out, and many people in the orphanage recognized her as a mother of these two brothers.
When she came up, we recognized her instantly. She had the exact same facial features as two of the young boys in the children's home. And, you know, we brought her in and sort of gave her tea and sat her down, and she told us this whole story of how it had taken her so long to find the children, how she had never meant to give them up in this way, how she had actually paid this man to give them up, and just how overwhelmed she was just to find them again.
You end up building a relationship with this woman as you take her boys to visit her and find out that after a while she suddenly has more children with her. Where did these children come from? She's living in absolute poverty.
That was a nightmare. I mean, we did take the two boys to visit their mother on the other side of Kathmandu. She was living in a shack, probably the size of your bedroom with no windows. And one day we got there, and sure enough, there were seven children there. And I was asking her, who are these other children? And she said, well, this child trafficker, Golka, who's sort of featured in the book, you just dumped seven children with her. He had already made the money on them, and he knew that he could take advantage of her. And I was asking him, how could you possibly feed these kids? And she said, well, I'm not feeding them. And that's when we realized we had to do something to get these kids into a safe place.
So your entire understanding of the orphanage system in Nepal was unraveling, you know, and you tried to find homes for these seven boys, actually six boys, one girl, and the civil war flared up, the efforts were thwarted, and they disappeared. At this point, where were you? Were you still in Nepal?
I was there right up until the revolution. I mean, the Maoists gave a little heads up on the revolution that was coming in April of 2006. I, along with most of the tourists and many volunteers there, just essentially fled the country, knowing that this good orphanage would go pick up these children, these seven children, and everything would be okay. As it turned out, it was a very violent revolution. And, you know, in the shuffle of all that, the trafficker came, kidnapped them, and sold all seven kids. And that's when I learned that had happened, I made the decision that I had to go back and try to find them.
And your book, Little Princes, talks about this journey, finding those children again, reconnecting many of them with their parents, but also meeting many other trafficked children along the way in a similar situation. And I want to ask you about the U.S. government's policy on adoptions from Nepal, because this is all tied together. Last August, the U.S. government suspended adoptions from Nepal, saying it doesn't trust the integrity and transparency of the adoption system. You met children who had death certificates for their parents and were in orphanages who could have been adopted. Do you think the U.S. is right to close down adoptions, that there are enough questions about this?
Boy, it's such a tough question. I mean, my heart goes out because I know so many of these adoptive parents. My wife and I would love to adopt someday from Nepal, but I just don't believe that we can do that when the system is so corrupt, when we cannot tell whether children are orphans or not orphans. I can't tell you how many parents I've met who have lost their children to adoption. We've gotten into the mountains and found that these parents that we thought were dead, whose children had been adopted already out of the country, were actually alive. And by that point, there's nothing you can do about it. You know, I know personally families who have adopted these kids who later find out that they still have parents, and they've done really courageous things about reintroducing the parents to the children back in Nepal. But, you know, I sympathize with both sides. I think that the American government is right to at least put a tremendous amount of pressure on Nepal. What we are trying to do here is clean it up precisely so that these, you know, proper children can be adopted.
You started an NGO around this, Next Generation Nepal, whose purpose is to try to reconnect children with their families. And you describe several of the reunions you helped create between parents and their children. Can you read one of those for us?
Yeah, so this is me meeting one of the mothers and showing her a photo of a child that she had lost years earlier. It was instant recognition. She cried out, and the group crowded in to see, the whole village, really. She touched it to her head, as one would do to a sacred object, and broke down sobbing, two hands on the photo, thumbs pressing into it, as if she was trying to enter the picture herself, to touch the boy with the oil-slicked hair parted down the middle, flashing his wide grin. The father gently took the photo from her and held it inches from his face. Then he, too, began to cry.
How many trafficked children has Next Generation Nepal connected with their biological families?
With our very small team out working in the Himalaya just searching, we've found probably about 400 of these families, and there's many, many more to go.
It's an amazing story. And I have to ask the question that some skeptics are probably thinking, and that is, how do we know that you did all of this? In light of these recent revelations with Greg Mortensen and Three Cups of Tea not being accurate, have you been pushed to prove that you're doing what you say you're doing high in the mountains of the Himalayas?
You know, my publisher had the same question. We actually have many, many layers of proof. I mean, first of all, I've been keeping a current account of this over the years that I was doing it without any intention of publishing a book. But more importantly, you know, I had a camera in my hands almost the entire time I was in Nepal. I have photos of literally almost every single moment that I talk about in the book. And moreover, I was never doing any of this alone. I was always with at least two or three people. It's easy to corroborate. The children who star in the book have all read the book and have all backed up the accounts. You know, I'm very, very confident that we've, you know, everything in here is absolutely true.
Connor, when you first went to Nepal, you were single, enjoying the life of an expat. You had your drinking buddies. Now you're married and you just had your second child. How has that changed your perspective on this problem of child trafficking?
It's really changed it completely. I'm not sure I could go into the mountains and face these parents and look for them because to me it's now so emotional. I can imagine now on the parent side what it's like to lose a child. So we have these great staff members out in Nepal who are, you know, single without kids, and they're able to do this with a little more distance from it. To me, gosh, I just get, you know, really choked up when I meet one of these parents now, and that's not always the best way to work.
Connor Grennan is author of Little Princes, One Man's Promise to Bring Home the Lost Children of Nepal. Thank you.
Thanks, Monica.